Great to have Roy and Beth together with us this morning. I've been praying. I didn't tell anybody you might come, and because I thought I'm just giving to the Lord. And so good to see you all together as a couple here today. And praise the Lord. Let's continue to pray for Roy and Beth and the family. And of course, Beth has a procedure tomorrow up at Hershey. And we have a van rented for that, and Becky's been helping, and Becky's been going along. I thank Becky publicly for that, and thank the church for helping out there as well. So good to have you here as well. We're missing Miss Bonnie. Her white blood cell count is down, so they don't want her to be able to get anything that could hospitalize her basically immediately. So She texts me this morning. She hates not being... Beth, I can't text you now during the service. I can anyway. Okay, you got your phone. I'll text you anyway. I don't encourage texting during the service, but I do it almost every Sunday. And I usually text Beth and sometimes Roy together. So anyway... Bonnie texted me this morning. She hates missing church, especially when she feels fine. But I said, no, you're too important in the long run for this. So she doesn't get anything and doesn't become hospitalized. She is staying home today. Larry's not feeling the greatest, but praise the Lord, he hasn't passed anything along over to Bonnie at this point in time. So. We thank the Lord for that. And I think even somewhat Kimberly's family has been a little under the weather. And so they're all trying to be careful around Kimberly's mom as well. And pray. I don't want to make this an emotional appeal, but Katrina's birthday is this week. And I was texting with someone about that or emailing this week. And so that'll be challenging. And the first birthday since Brother Dan's going home to be with the Lord. And so let's pray for each one of them this week during that time. Christy does have your giving receipts. If you had us keep track of your giving for 2019, she has those receipts for you. And if you would like the record of your giving kept for the 2020 year, please see Pastor Terry about that. And he would have the envelopes, and what you do is get a numbered envelope, and then you can also write that number on other envelopes that you use, and that way they'll keep a record of that. Right now we're able to do that. I'm not sure how long that will go on because a lot of the giving things have changed with taxes, but we will continue to do so. During the morning service, I'll be handing out and have some men hand out some of the reminders for the Sweetheart Banquet. And I'd like to especially remind you men to consider signing up for this. And we would love to have you come out, enjoy some fellowship together as couples. And we're looking forward to that time spent together. Talking about the true identity, a conference coming up. I've been talking to the Davises about this for a couple of weeks. And there's a conference coming up March 3rd to the 5th. I'd probably encourage or more specifically gear it toward our older teens and our college and career, but really anyone's encouraged to go. And it's a conference out at Baptist College of Ministry. It has some great speakers, including Jim Van Gelderen, who's a friend of mine who will be preaching here in 2022, I think, if the Lord so tarries. Another good friend of mine, Rick Flanders, will be preaching out there at the time with great speakers. And if you would like to go, we'd like to maybe even help you to go. That's a conference where it'd be available to where we would even help you financially to be able to go to this. And so if we can help you with that, it's called the Victory Conference. You can get information from me. You can talk to Aaron Davis. Wendy and Terry will be heading out this week, but you can talk to Aaron Davis about that. And I think a couple others from our church are already planning on going. And so if you'd like to go, there's also a teaching seminar later on in the year. We haven't run full circle in the discussion, but out in Milford, Ohio. We haven't gone out for a number of years, and Debbie Pride's teaching out there this year. And so it might be a great opportunity for us to revisit going out there. And so we'll give you more information regarding that as we get closer to the time. Let me see if anything else here. Again, things continue to come in for the building fund, and we thank the Lord for that. We encouraged last week. I know not everyone was here last week due to the weather and health, but we encouraged last week. Class rings are a great opportunity, great item to give. Sometimes we don't use the class ring anymore. Maybe you have somebody in your family's class ring. They kind of gave it to you as they passed on or didn't want it anymore. There's actually some value in getting having them sold. Jewelry, gold and silver is up right now. Even broken jewelry, if you want to bring that in, that could be available. Firearms we've talked about. And again, please don't bring the firearms right into the auditorium here. You can bring the gold and all those in. But just talk to Brother David Wise. And this Friday, they're taking some of the things to one of the auctioneers we'll be dealing with. And so if you get things to them in the near immediate future, we can process it quite quickly. And a number of things have come in. We're right around the 50% mark in our dedication of reaching the $700,000 mark. And so we're really excited about what the Lord is doing in our midst. Great to have Michelle here. I didn't ask you really why you're here. Did your dad and mom kick you out? They did. Okay, well, you're better off anyway without them. So, no. Oh, good, good. Well, it's great to have you here with us as well. And, of course, her dad's Dr. Mark Montgomery, and came and preached this past year. Mark and Karen, great friends of ours personally, and great friends of the ministry as well. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would. Let's go to Psalm 119 to begin. We're looking at studying the Word of God. And now we have this up here, the Sunday School series, Studying the Word of God Principles for Studying. By the way, we apologize at times. Some of our slides aren't quite centered and all, and it's a little bit of an issue with the program Christy's using compared to the program they're using here, and we're trying to get them synced together that whatever Christy does comes out to look more proper here. So at times things don't look quite as they ought to, maybe off-center, maybe some of the fonts look strange, or sometimes that is changed just because of the change of programs. Today we're trying to be really practical, and we're going to talk about Psalm 145 if we have the opportunity later. I have you at Psalm 119. We're going to talk about how to begin to apply passages of Scripture and what you're finding. Again, what I'm encouraging you to do is get into the Word of God on a regular basis. Don't be as much concerned about trying to get through volumes of it, though at times that can be really beneficial. At times I've read through the Bible quickly to kind of get a better overview of it, put the facts and things together, and there's nothing wrong at all with that. But merely to try to read three chapters every day, to say we've read through the Bible every year, isn't necessarily our dynamic goal. Our dynamic goal is to get something out of the Word of God that can help us to grow and to change to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you a couple of verses that I've pointed out here in my own notes. Psalm 119, look at verse 34. By the way, Psalm 119, all but probably two of the verses, in one way or another, have reference to the Word of God. The writer is often attributed to David, but probably not David. My guess would be, after studying and reading other men and their observations, my guess would probably actually be Ezra. Ezra, who wanted to study the Word of God so he can teach Israel, and teach in Israel statutes and judgments, and to do them. Ezra 7:10, I'm just giving you a synopsis of that verse. What a tremendous man of God he was, and the possible writer of Psalm 119. I preached a whole series of messages from it a couple of years ago. But look at verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So, Lord, if you'll give me understanding. So we talked the last couple of weeks that God inspired His Word. He did not inspire the authors. He's inspired His Word. That means He breathed it out. He breathed it out to holy men of God. who then would copy his word down and get it to us. But if the Bible came from God, excuse me, if the Bible came from God and his thoughts are so much higher than his thoughts and his ways so much different than our ways, how are we ever going to understand it? Well, then we have the Holy Spirit who will illuminate us, who will help us to get the picture. Illumination is something that the Holy Spirit does, and He opens our eyes. We talked about this last week. He begins to uncover things that were hidden to us. He turns the light on. It was one of the words. He helps us to get the picture. And so Ezra, or whoever the writer is here, a holy man of God, says, if you give me understanding. So, holy men don't necessarily understand everything. Holy men are men who are set aside for worshiping and serving the Lord, but just because he is a writer of the word didn't mean he ever understood everything. So he says, Lord, if you give me understanding, I'll keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Sounds like verse 9. Earlier in the psalm. Look at verse 73, just the latter part of it. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So he says, I want to learn. So again, a holy man of God doesn't know everything. A holy man can learn more, and a holy lady, the same thing. He says, Lord, would you give me understanding? Let's go down to verse number 125. By the way, this is almost the very center of your Bible. Psalm 117 has actually the center two words of the Bible. Does anybody know what those two words are? It's very fitting. The Lord. Center two words in the whole Word of God is the Lord. That seems very appropriate. And by the way, that's English, not through Hebrew and Greek. And so I'm not trying to say God put a special message in there to us, though He could have, and I don't put anything beyond Him. But then Psalm 119 is right there at the center. I think Psalm 118 is actually the center of the Bible when you consider chapters and passages and Psalms. And then Psalm 119 is basically all about His Word. Psalm 119, verse 125, the longest Psalm, 150 verses, says, I am thy servant, give me understanding. Again, that I may know thy testimonies. Go down to verse 144. Verse 144. Wait a second, I said 150. There's 150 Psalms. How many verses are there in Psalm 119? I know. 176, right. Then look at Psalm 119, 144. Give me understanding and I shall live. And then go down to verse 169. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. So help me to understand life through the lens or through the glasses of thy word. You know, so often we get our perception or our perspective of the world by listening to the news. We ought to get it by reading the word of God. And so again, we can get understanding, and it comes from God, and it comes in connection with his word. So, would you turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 2? Let's go Old Testament to New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. By the way, would you flip to the next slide for me, Randy? Oh, you have it up here for me. Thank you. Thank you. Let me go forward. I want to encourage you, this is kind of a side note. Brother Donnie had a really good appointment this past week. And Brother Donnie's dealing with the tremors and has been for some time. And not to embarrass him, I think a number of our people already know that. He's actually now been unable to drink from that hand. And there is a fascinating story of a man who had the procedure done that Brother Donnie's going to have on February 6th. It's called Jordan's Story. And it shows you an older gentleman who again was trying to drink and just can't get the cup steadied to his mouth and all, and had the procedure, and then shows him taking his two fingers and just joining them together. It's what, about four minutes long. And wow, I am just praying that Jordan's story will be Donnie's story. And Donnie's been so faithful, and he's willing to come up and do so many projects at church, even though he's struggling with this. I would encourage you sometime to visit the website, Penn Medicine, not during church, okay? And look at Jordan's story, and you can find it on YouTube as well, or it actually can take you to YouTube from there. But it's just fascinating, and I think it will give you an understanding, a better understanding of what Donnie and Linda are going through, and the procedure he is going to be having coming up just less than 2 weeks from now on February the 6th that we ought to be praying for. So I put that up there just to draw your attention, give you opportunity maybe to jot a note to look at Penn Medicine and Jordan's story to get the information from that. Okay, so back to the Bible here. So when we get into the Word of God, again, I brought this out, but I wanted to share you these two verses before I got into our study today. What I think is best, since God's ways and His thoughts are so much higher and better than ours, He is so much more intelligent than we are, who should know, who has the mind of the Lord that we should instruct Him? There's none of us that God's getting counsel from or advice from, though we often want to offer it to Him. And so Peter and James, both pastors, they used to be joint pastors. They were kind of like Pastor Terry and myself. They pastored together in Jerusalem. And they're writing to their flock that's now scattered years later because of persecution. They're now scattered in the wilderness. And both of them write, and both of them talk about putting off sin before receiving the Word. So would you look here, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and by the way, he's writing to Christians. Listen to what he tells them to put off. He tells them to lay aside malice. That's a hateful intent to hurt someone. Lay aside guile, the idea of being deceitful, laying aside hypocrisies. I don't want to go to that church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. You're right. And sometimes the biggest hypocrite's the pastor. I'm not talking about Pastor Terry either. That would be hypocritical of me to do that. Sometimes I'm a hypocrite. And we need to lay aside these things, including envies and evil speakings. That might be right here. Might be right here right now. As newborn babes desire the sincere. So how do you lay it aside? Somebody help me here. How do you lay aside these things? What would be part of what if we put it in today's vernacular, if we talk about how do you lay aside hypocrisies? How do you lay aside malice? Brother Greg. Okay. One of the things you do is bring something else in, a positive trait. So if you're having trouble speaking evil with someone, you take 1 Peter chapter 3 in mind. If somebody's doing something evil to us, we're to do contrarywise, we're to bless them. And so you come up with something positive, something good, something righteous to say. What's something else you can do? How else can you lay it aside? Our brother Donnie. Okay, give it to the Lord. Somebody else had a hand up, I think. Somebody else put their hand up? Okay. One of the things you do is just confess it. You say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, and I give it to you. And the Bible says that we should not be holding on to our sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we confess our sins to Him. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So wherefore we lay it aside. First thing, start by confessing our sins. Then, as newborn babes, this is actually a command. It doesn't say, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. It says, just like a newborn babe, you desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So he say, put off sin and desire the Word. Now let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to look at one verse. James chapter 1, let's look at one verse. Let's look at let's look at two verses. Verses 21 and 22. Let's just do that. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness. Again, writing to Christians. He doesn't say lay aside. He says lay apart means the same thing. Lay apart All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Wow, that doesn't sound good. So we're to lay those things aside. We are to lay it apart from us. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And it doesn't have the idea of redeem your souls, though that is true as well. But it has the idea of delivering your soul from struggle, delivering your soul from sin, delivering your soul from yourself. And so it's not really a redemptive phrase here, talking about getting saved. It's talking about getting sanctified, getting changed to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, James says you got to lay aside the sin, lay it apart from you. What does it mean? I want you to look this up if you have the time this week. What does it mean to receive with meekness the engrafted word? We're starting Sunday school next week right there. What does that mean? If you have time this week, would you look that up? And then he goes on to say, and be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So again, as you get into the word of God, give me understanding. But before you do so, I've got to lay aside my sin and then get into the word with a desire to change. Let's start now with having a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the direction we're going, and we need help. Not only from you, but often we can get help from others that will help us to grow and understand your word better. So guide in the time that we have together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the next few minutes, I want to be really practical with you. I want to talk about practical things that you can bring into your life that can help you. Becky actually shared this with me. We were talking the other day about how far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem. And this is a chart that Becky found. And you can find, I think it was Becky, right? You shared this with me, correct? I want to make sure I'm attributing to the right person the right thing. She found this, which was really interesting. How far are these cities from Jerusalem, and how far are they going to Capernaum, to these areas? And so these are two key areas, especially as you go through the life of Christ, being that of Jerusalem and Capernaum. And you can find charts like this. It can be really helpful. You can laminate them, put them at your desk. You can laminate them and use them as a bookmark. I can pass this along to you that you can do that. Or you can go online and find something if that's something you're able to do. But how far is Bethany from Jerusalem? Bethlehem, Bethphage, and so forth. Caesarea Philippi, whatever they all are up there. I didn't memorize the list. But I thought that might be something helpful for you. Again, this is something you can actually put right into your Bible or keep right at your desk. I have a number of cards laminated that are quick grabs for me. I have them actually in a banker's clip, and I have it just up there, and I can grab. I make them different colors so I know what I'm grabbing, and be able to turn to things like this that are able to help me to understand where we're going. I want to talk to you about Bible dictionaries. Now, I'm giving you a list. I've already given it to you. So you're up. What is up here is the same as what is down there, except you have one misspelling. I put an extra letter. I put an extra S in one of the word dictionaries somewhere and left it on your sheet and went back and changed it here. Bible dictionaries, by the way, are going to cost anywhere from used around $10 with shipping to around $25 or $30. They are not going to define a word for you. There are other books that will do that, and we'll talk about that in the future. But what Bible dictionaries will help you, for instance, Jerusalem. You want to know about Jerusalem? You can turn there, and it'll give you a lot of detailed information. Probably tell you the size of Jerusalem. Try to tell you various people that ruled over Jerusalem. I'll tell you the contour. I'll tell you about the valleys that come around Jerusalem. It has three valleys around it. And so these Bible dictionaries may tell you about Aaron or Moses. You can look them up and get a lot of detailed information. You can look up David and get a lot of great detailed information there. I have a number of them. I probably have about six of them. The one I use the most is called the New Bible Dictionary. And so I put it first. It was highly recommended to me when I was in Bible college. I have found it very helpful and very enlightening. Unger's is another one that I have. It's been around for a number of years. I think somebody always says Unger's for the hungry or something like that. They would recommend the Unger's Dictionary, and again, there's a new Unger's Dictionary. A lot of times, because of archaeology, they're finding out a lot of new information. By the way, over 25,000 archaeological digs have taken place over the last number of years, and none of them have disproven anything regarding the Scriptures or creation. I find that really interesting. They have all attested to and added to the truths. When we were in Israel, there were several archaeological digs going on. Brother John, I think, experienced that when he and Virginia went over. They're happening right now. We actually were able to sift through some of the archaeological. They use people like us on tours, and they allow you to help sift through and find things. They've already gone through and believe they've found the major things. But then with the millions of visitors coming through, they allow you to sift through the dirts of Jerusalem, which we did. And I forget, I found a little bit of something. It would have been probably from a lamb or something that was sacrificed. Somebody found a tooth. I think somebody found a coin, which is really rare. And so you can find some really interesting things. So they're a lot of times new because there's constantly updated information given. The Baker Compact Bible Dictionary is really good. Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary, a lot more pictures and illustrative things to it. The Holman Bible Dictionary, the Erdmann's Bible Dictionary. I have Erdmann's, by the way, it does have two E's. I didn't misspell that. The Erdmann's Bible Dictionary I have as well. I have the pictorial. I have about five of those. I found these off of different ones, conservative, solid men who are recommending. Again, notice these are not for defining individual words, but getting a basic knowledge of people, places, and things. You might look up what is a potsherd when Job had that. You might find that in one of these Bible dictionaries and so forth. So these are really helpful books. Again, I just quick eBayed it yesterday, I think it was, or a couple days ago, and I found one of these Bible dictionaries going used for $5. Now, again, shipping was about $3. And so you can go online and do that. You can do that through Amazon. You can go to CBD. You can go to Abe Books. They're selling old ones. You can go to Baker's Used Books and so forth. And if you want to buy used, you can go to Clay Bookstore. Clay is an excellent place. And I know the books aren't organized, right? And it drives you crazy. It does me at least. But the dictionaries and the Bibles are all separated generally, and the encyclopedias. So generally, they have all their dictionaries together in one area. And so if you ask them, they'll point you in the right basic direction so that you don't have to go through everything. And again, there, it's a lot of times $2 to $5 for a used dictionary. Unless it's in exquisite condition, they may be more. Study Bibles, and again, there are a vast array of these. So what I did is I contacted about 20 pastor friends of mine. Yes, your dad was on the list. And I contacted about 20 pastor friends of mine who I knew were conservative. I knew they were believing where we are believing, and asking what Bible study Bibles they would recommend. I'm going to bring you some pictures in the future. I just didn't feel we'd have time to give you an idea what some of their pages look like. I know Edna really has a nice one. Randy, I think, got her one recently. And that's a really nice study Bible if you want to look at hers. I know Jane was just talking to me this morning. It's great to have Jane back with us this morning. Hasn't been feeling well for a while. And she was just telling me about her study Bible. By the way, she'd like somebody to help put the tabs on her study Bible. She'd rather not do it. She says her hands are shaky sometimes. If somebody's willing to help her, please talk to Jane about that. She would love for somebody to do that for her. So these are Bibles that are great aids. Some of them will immediately give you a summary of the book before you start reading. Others of them will help explain words or concepts or ideas of what is going on. I listed them not in any order. Though Becky shared with me a Strand Bible, and then was able to help me get one, and I really like it. But every time I looked them up, they're about $200. And it's a hardback version, but it's an excellent study Bible. These have notes by men. Even my notes wouldn't be perfect. Yeah, it's a joke, okay? I'm nowhere near perfect. If you ask me to give you notes in a Bible, like Karen and I are similarly doing with one another, they're not infallible. And so understand, some of these men behind it maybe have a Calvinistic bent that may come out a little bit in their notes. Schofield believed in the gap theory. I don't. Some of them believed in other theories or had other ideas, so the notes aren't perfect. I forget Thompson Chain, which is Pastor Terry's favorite, I think, and one I love. But it has in one of the places the White Horseman or one of them is wrong. Their explanation of who it is wrong. In my opinion and many others. So these are recommended again. Wow, you're talking a vast array. This is something, it's a keepsake. My study Bibles don't go out of my study without a case. You put too much money into them. And so these aren't Bibles I just haul around all the time. Edna has hers in a nice case. And so she's not taking hers out of the house without a case on it either. And I don't blame her. You put a lot of money into these. I don't bring it to church to preach from. I don't bring mine to church to listen to any preaching just because I'd rather have less wear and tear. I'd rather bring a thin-line Bible I can carry easy. Mine's now large print, so I can actually see the print better. Even with my contacts in, I need this. And I'd rather carry this and keep my study Bibles at home, but that's just me. You can put a good bit of money into some of these, but again, the Strand Bible, the Holman, KJV Study Bible. Is that the one you have, Edna? I think it might be. Anyway, Edna, can they look at that later if they choose to come by and ask you? You might want to look at Edna's later. Thompson Chain Reference, excellent. Open Bible, fabulous. Open Bible is a great study Bible. Many recommended the Life Application Study Bible. I have one. It helps you to know how can I apply this to my life? How can I apply the Book of Esther to my life? And so forth. Henry Moore's Study Bible. This was given to me, I believe, at my ordination or something since. I forget. I love it. It's got some great notes in it. Several men that I highly respect recommended this. And again, he is a creationist, I believe from down in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. And Henry Morris has done some great, he really helped me in the book of Genesis. John R. Rice has a study by, I didn't know this, and somebody recommended his, Spurgeon Study Bible, and it's by Alistair Berg, is the one who probably does the best. He takes some of his sermon notes and interjects it into the passages from which he was preaching. And they say it's excellent. Criswell Study Bible, I've heard great reviews over. That can be excellent. Schofield Reference Bible, not the new one. The new one, they even changed the text some. And I just personally wouldn't recommend it. One interesting note here as well, if the laser pointer works here, it does initially. The page layout, no matter where, is the same. I don't know about you, but Pastor Roy Wise, my pastor growing up, love him. Since went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago, he would always say, getting up in the morning. Now, if you have a Schofield Reference Bible, turn to page number, and it doesn't matter what Schofield Reference Bible you have. You turn to that page, you see the exact same thing: large print, small print, thin line, wide. But it doesn't matter. I have an old Schofield wide margin. That is really rare. An old Schofield wide margin Bible. It's kind of like the Cambridge wide margin. And same thing. So that's the kind of the uniqueness. Whenever he got up to preach a message, he'd say, now if you need help, turn your Bible to, and he'd tell you the page number in case you couldn't find Hezekiah 3:10. By the way, see if you can find Hezekiah 3:10. Do it real quick. Anybody ready? Hezekiah is not a book in the Bible, by the way. Man in the Bible, but not a book. They used to always get that with sword drills growing up. But anyway, Ryrie's Study Bible is excellent. These are just some of the ones, but these include all the ones that were recommended to me by these preachers. So it's almost a short list. Can I say, where do you get good stuff cheap? Yeah, I didn't want to say it. I'll tell you, they have a number of these study Bibles there. I'll show you some that Karen and I have gotten. Karen actually purchased for all the young ladies in Karen's Sunday school class one of the study Bibles. And they are using it together. By the way, I forgot to put on here the woman's study Bible. Karen uses that a lot. You can get it in leather or hardbound. I think I got Karen a leather-bound one. She had a hardbound one as well. But that is a really good, ladies, if you'd be interested in that one, has some really good notes in it as well. Again, I think that's the title of it, right? Any ladies have it? Is that? I think it's called the Woman's Study Bible. And has some really good notes. But honestly, if you go to Ollie's, they have all kinds. They have the thin lines. They have the wide margins and so forth. And they're really helpful. Any questions when I go over this list? Thompson Chain is just incredible. Esther, do you have one on you? Do you have it with you? Does anybody have one with them? Anybody? Zach, you do? Can you get to the end of Revelation for me? And just, I'm going to ask him to hold his Bible up in a minute. And you have an idea of how many pages of notes are in the, it's incredible. And what it does as a numbering system, I'll show it to you one of these weeks in the front, that will take you to a page in the back and where you can find detailed information. It's incredible cross-references, more than any other study Bible that I've ever seen. And do you have it there, Zach? Can hold it up and kind of look at how many pages are. It's almost about a third as much as the regular Bible is just notes in the back. Thank you, Zach. And they're just tremendously helpful. They've got charts, they've got maps, they've got pictures of different things and what they look like. Just tremendous, tremendous help. Anybody have one of these study Bibles? Just raise your hand if you have one of the ones I mentioned. So almost probably half of us. Pastor notes. Some of the leather ones, again, a number of mine are hardback because I'm not taking them anywhere. I don't have anybody to impress with them. They hold together still really well. I use it as a reference book, sort of. And so a number of mine. In fact, my life application one is leather bound and the leather's coming off, so I have duct tape on it to keep the pieces of leather from falling off. Again, it doesn't look fancy, but it does the job in my study, and that's all I need it to do. Excellent resources. This is a great, if you can afford, I don't know the price, I should have looked it up. Way of Life Encyclopedia of the Bible and Christianity. Brian, will you do a quick search and tell me how much this book has cost? I do not recommend this. Don't do this at home, okay? Give me a general idea. ISB International Standard Bible Encyclopedia is generally four volumes, but you can get it in a lot of Bible programs. Just fabulous. A wealth of information. It is a Bible dictionary on steroids, basically, is what it is. Strong's Concordance, helping you understand the words. Strong for the strong, Young's for the young. Somebody used to say Cruden's for the crude. That was the phrases in college. They're all great concordances. Strong's, though, is probably the most exhaustive and probably the best that I've found over the years. Strong's concordances aren't very expensive. I'll try to pick some up as I see them and even bring them and just make them available for free here at the church. I love, and a number of the men mentioned they use the Webster's 1828. I put 1928. 1828 Bible Dictionary. Fabulous. Webster was a strong Christian, often used Bible verses to help define the words. Knave's Topical Bible, fabulous. Do you want worry, depression, anxiety, faith, fear? You can look it up and it gives you all the cross-references to that. Many cross-references. Excuse me, not all. Reese Chronological Bible. Exceptional. A great resource. By the way, I loaned mine from here one day and I don't know who took it. So if you have mine, let me know. I can buy another one. You can keep it if you want. If you plan to return it, let me know. If not, I'll just buy another one. But I loaned it out from here one time, and I haven't gotten it back. And the Cambridge Wide Margin Bible, exceptional. It's got room for notes on either side. And I would encourage you to use like a Pigma Micron pen that doesn't bleed through the pages to take notes there. But again, an excellent resource. Electronic resources, computer, online Bible, eSword Power Bible. By the way, you can get a combination of all three of them for about $3. And if two of them are free downloads, online Bible, onlinebible.net, eSword, and then Power Bible, we'll give you from free here. So you can get all of those for free. And they are exceptional. Just to help you on your computer. If you have a smartphone or tablet, I use the Expositors KJV. And I'm an Apple product, and I have it on my iPad and my iPhone, and I'm going to show you them. We're going to Apple TV next week so I can show you how to use it. My Bible Sword, Shane and Tracy use, as well as Dwayne. KJV Study Bible, that's another. Those bottom two are Android. I don't know you can get them with Apple products. Again, are tremendous resources to help you. And they define the words. Thank you. I'm done with that. They define words for you. They will help give you cross references. You can search the fear of the Lord, and it'll give you every passage that mentions the fear of the Lord. Those just the products on your tablets or phones are just excellent. Brian, did you get a basic price for that? Okay, somewhere between $40 and $55. It's an excellent resource, and I would really highly recommend. If you want to do a good bit of Bible study and have a good grasp and understanding, it is just an excellent. David Cloud is he's a contemporary of ours, serving back as a missionary now, was here in the States doing a lot of evangelistic work, is back on the mission field, prolific writer. And David Sorensen has also put together a great commentary series. I'll recommend some other commentary series later. Turn with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I had given this to you last week. With hopes that some of you may take a little bit of time to read through it a couple times to see if something kind of jumped off the page at you. And again, that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does. All of a sudden you read and it looks like that word's bold or that word's underlined. It makes an emphasis. As you're reading your Bible, if you're reading in the King James, which is the only one I recommend personally, and there's a lot of reason for that, but I won't explain now. You'll find some words in italics. The word in italics is not like it is in ministering to the deaf or in writing a book where you're emphasizing something. The words in italics are there, and they're in italics because the translators want you to know this isn't a word that we found in the Greek, but this is just helping this sentence to make sense. So they've added here and there in various verses words just to help the flow into English from the Greek. So they didn't want us to think this is actually from the Lord and this is actually from the originals. And so they italicize, they put a bent to them, a lean to them, I guess you'd say. And so whenever you're reading, now any other version doesn't do that. Any other version is copyrighted. Any other version isn't owned by God, it's owned by man. King James is the only one that they do this with, because no one has a copyright authority on the King James. They believe it's God's book, and they believe it needs to be handled that way. And so I just wanted to make note of that. If you see a word in italics, I want you to understand it was a word that the translators added to help the flow of the sentence, the flow of the verse, to just give better understanding. I often go back and read it without the italicized word, and it still makes sense, but you're grasping a little bit more to get the flow of it. From Psalm 145, is anybody in the last week or so, you read it and something really stood out to you you'd like to share? I noticed this. I saw this. This was interesting. I didn't understand this. Does anybody have a comment? We have just a few minutes left. I wanted to take a couple minutes. Wendy. Yeah. One of the things she did, she took the sheet that I printed out, and I do that anytime I preach and anytime I'm studying through a passage. I will print out the verses on this side and put lines on this side and take notes. She marked all the "I shall." You know, that's a determination to do something. Something I preached on one time from Psalm 145 are the adjectives. It's not just works. They're glorious works. And he just put some extra adjective to everything that God does. He didn't see anything that God does as normal. It's extraordinary. And she noted that. And so, good. Some good observations there. And you will see sometimes a chain between "I shall" and then what the Lord's doing. And you notice that when you mark. Again, I don't like doing all those markings sometimes in my regular Bible. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. I'll do it on those sheets first. And then sometimes transfer it to my regular study Bible. But I love using these sheets to help me to study. Somebody else, something you may have noticed. Yes, Rita. Wow, that's interesting. I did not know that. And so David was God's king. God had chosen him to be king. Here David is, one of the last psalms he ever writes, and he, for the very first time, references God as king. Very interesting. I didn't know that. See, I can learn from you just as easily as you can hopefully learn from me. Somebody else? We're going to focus more next week on application. And again, we want to look at Psalm 145 and read through it and think, okay, how can I apply this to my life? We've been doing it a little bit with verses 8 and 9. The Lord is what? The Lord is, what's the first phrase? The Lord's gracious. But what else is He? He is also what? He's also full of compassion. But it doesn't stop there. He's also what? Also slow to anger and of great mercy. So if that's what God is like, that's what we ought to be becoming. And so that means we ought to be looking into the perfect law of liberty. Wow, God's this way, but I'm not. I'm not slow to anger at all. I'm quick to anger, you might say. And so then we begin to look at the Word and to begin to observe it and to ask the Lord to help us to become slow to anger. Next week, we'll be focusing on James chapter 1 to get us the idea of what application looks like. And then we're going to be going to Psalm 145 and looking at that a little bit more in depth. A little bit, and again, I said from this point out, all the extra things like I showed up here this morning are going to be just couple-minute blurbs. I don't want to dwell on Bible programs and computer things for a long period of time because not everybody has a computer in here. And so we're going to try to keep those segments quite short. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know more about Your Word. And we have found that not only your Holy Spirit teaches us, to the point we really don't have to have somebody teach us, but you've also had other holy men who've written down things that are really helpful to us. Just like Rita just shared with us, Lord, you helped her to see something through someone else. And so, Father, may we determine, hey, I want to get more out of your word. We invest in other things. Help us to invest in our spiritual growth. We buy other books. We buy other things to advance ourselves in other areas. May we be willing to put out some money to advance ourselves in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy some fellowship.